Hey there, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Coming up next, another sample of one of our podcasts. Yeah, we're more than just a weekly wrestling review show. Along with that, we do podcasts each and every day that can be delivered to you directly into your podcatcher by signing up to our Patreon. It is only $1 a week at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And you'll get podcasts like the next one. SmackDown. It falls at the end of the week and sometimes it's forgotten, but we have got you covered with our East Coast dads. Yeah, both of these gentlemen are from Nova Scotia. Yes, they are dads, and we call them the Smack Daddies. Reviewing SmackDown every week. A sample is up next, and if you want to get this review and each and every day get another review of pro wrestling, sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, your SmackDown review with the Smack Daddies.
Like, it's funny that we usually, for the last few weeks, have been known as the, well, I'm not going to say the best,
but I was going to say, this one's going out to everyone, remember?
Yes, I know. I won't say any bad words, especially considering it all get Googled for it. Did you hear that? That's how this evening went.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we know this is going out to everybody. And of course, you know what? I think it got jinxed. Boris said that and I was so excited. And then I was like, oh yeah. And then a bunch of people got released. And yeah, that's what we're talking about. So welcome. It's Friday night. We're recording right after SmackDown. It is Brad the Dad and Father Feltham. I bowed my head. He didn't say his line, but that's okay.
No, and I didn't. I should have. Sorry.
Your Smack Daddies. Let me try it again.
Yeah, Father Feltham. Bless you, my son.
All right. And we are ready to rock and roll. We are here to talk about SmackDown, some of the news and notes from the week, and, well, releases, because apparently that's what you do on Friday night. Do you know how bad it is today, Greg?
How bad is it today, Brad?
I didn't even feel like bugging Boris and Matt to join us tonight, because why bother?
No, well, I know that they covered it on BAM today. So, I mean, if you haven't had a chance to go back and grab BAM from this afternoon, you can go back and hear their thoughts on it. But I guess, Brad, you might as well play that music and we'll get into the news of the week.
Well, why don't we start? Because this is on the free feed, they don't normally know us. We're the rank amateurs of the group. Everybody else is like podcast veterans or broadcasters of some kind. We're basically your two buddies who are going to sit with you at the edge of the bar. We're going to talk about wrestling from the normal guy's perspective. And other than adding cool sound effects, we don't really have any special tricks. So let's do that special trick sound effect. And I will throw things over to Greg, who's going to lead us through the news pack from today, this week, from God, I don't know, Greg. I don't even know.
So let's put things aside for now. Let's talk about a few other nice things before we deal with, you know, the elephant in the room. Starting off, WWE WrestleMania 38 ticket sale update. Wrestling Observer newsletter is reporting that after a two-day pre-sale, more than 75,000 tickets at the highest prices of any pro wrestling show in history have been sold for the WrestleMania coming up for Dallas. As of today, there were said to be about 37,500 tickets sold for each night. So obviously there's still a lot more, because I believe that stadium easily will fit 90,000. If I recall correctly, for that arena. So definitely some room there, but I mean, that's a pretty good start to filling that thing, especially this far out.
Real question is, how are they going to fill up the card, because they keep releasing people?
Listen, we'll get to that, buddy. We'll get to that.
In all seriousness, this company can do one thing really well, and that is make money.
That they can, that they can. But speaking of money and costs for all that sort of thing, WWE, of course, Brad, is moving out of the iconic Titan Towers in Stamford, Connecticut. Obviously, they weren't far from there tonight with their show. Currently, they're moving about 2 miles west to Washington Boulevard to a downtown office. Plan was for it to happen in 2021, but with COVID and other things, they decided to push that back to late 2022. They've locked up more than 120,000 square feet of new leases for this one. WWE would be the largest tenant with 415,000 square feet leased. My apologies. So that's going to happen. They also, of course, with their new HQ, they will have a second facility right next door, which will be their more commercial TV type soundstage facility that will be obviously very, very close to their new headquarters. So Titan Towers, no more throwing someone out of the top window. We'll have to see if they manage to do that in their new building downtown.
So two quick questions. One, who has to move Vince's gym equipment?
That's a good question.
Okay, number two, is the dinosaur head moving too?
I don't know, but it actually, and I hate to say this, Brad, it makes me want to go back and watch that god-awful Money in the Bank from last year, the pandemic Money in the Bank that they did at Titan Tower.
Okay, the only good thing about that Money in the Bank is that, for the most part, nobody got hurt and nobody took big bumps.
What do you mean? Someone got thrown off the side of the building.
But they didn't actually get hurt. They only landed slightly below. Remember, we went over this. But listen, in all seriousness, that was a pretty, you know, I would say average to below average match. It was different, at least. But I am happy that during the middle of pandemic with no fans, they didn't make them take crazy bumps.
What I liked is that it gave us a look inside Titan Towers.
And we got to see Brother Love in the bathroom.
We did. We did get to see Brother Love in the bathroom. So, all right. This is a story for one guy and one guy only. This is for Mark Andrada with a new post on social media this week of his favorite boating enthusiast, Kerry Sain. Has shown off a new darker hair look that was posted on November 17th. So she's gone and darkened her hair a little bit. I'm not sure if that will make it easier or harder when she's at sea. But Mark Andrada, would love to get your feedback on your favorite boating enthusiast's new hairstyle.
I was quickly Googling while we were talking. And I was trying to see who Kairi Sane's boyfriend was, but it didn't come up quickly enough for me. Because I know that she dates one of the guys, and somebody can correct me. I don't genuinely care. Can correct me. She dates one of the guys from New Japan. So I'm keep waiting, actually, kind of, you know, she chose to go home. She chose to go back there. I was kind of waiting for baby news rather than darkening the hair.
Well, and she, of course, is a brand ambassador for WWE. That was kind of the role she took on as she left the company. So, yeah, I don't think we'll see her in New Japan. But, yeah, I don't know, Brad. We'll see what the future holds.
Well, I guess, I mean, I just wish she'd, listen, either go home and have a baby. I don't know, that sounds horrible. But, or come back and wrestle. I'm sad that she's not wrestling. I hope she's not wrestling because she's hurt. That just popped in my head. I really hope so, because I don't want, you know what I mean? Like, there's, you don't want to see your favorite wrestlers crippled, right?
Yeah, no, fair. Brad, speaking of obviously pregnancy, and before we get to the cuts of the week, let's talk about contracts. Wrestling Observer is reporting that Johnny Gargano is getting pushed hard from WWE to sign a new deal. His current contract is set to expire on Friday, December 3rd. His wife, of course, Candice LeRae, who is pregnant, has her contract expiring sometime in 2022. Word is that WWE had made a strong offer for him to remain with the company for long term. No word on specifics, but they want to lock it up, obviously, for several years. So we will have to see. And with War Games coming up on Sunday, December 5th, that could very well be interesting. Maybe a handshake deal to get them through to War Games. Who knows? And of course, Kyle O'Reilly's deal is set to expire in December. So no idea how that those talks are going.
Well, Kyle O'Reilly's talks are probably going out the door. But I got to ask you an honest question. Why would you sign if you were Johnny Wrestling? Why? Why would
you sign? If you do, I mean, you've got to negotiate that no cut clause.
Yeah, or something that's crazy where it's like, we're going to pay you for a year and you can work after 90 days somewhere else. Because if not, why? Like, there's no job security in this. I mean, they can cut you and, I mean... Look at someone like poor Braun Strowman. Like, and listen, I get it. They cut him because he had a huge contract and probably a bad attitude from what everybody says. But you got to feel for the guy. He's got bills to pay, and he's never going to make that kind of money again in his life.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brad, we've danced around it enough. Last night, 9 p.m. or so Eastern time last night, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com had reported that an email was sent out from Johnny Ace that WWE has released John Morrison, Top Dollar, Ashante the Adonis, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Tegan Knox, Drake Maverick, Shane Thorne, and Jackson Riker. These eight bring the total in 2021 of release contracts from WWE to 80 superstars have now been cut from the company this year. To put that into perspective, that's close to 3 regular size Royal Rumble matches or 2 the greatest Royal Rumble matches from Saudi, the 40-man one. So, I mean, that's just huge.
It's also, if we think ahead to Survivor Series, more wrestlers than are advertised for the Survivor Series card this Sunday.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Maverick has a second release during the pandemic. He's been released twice during the pandemic.
Yep, that's 2 for Maverick. So anyone on this list that kind of surprised you besides the obvious? I mean, Morrison, that one to me was not a surprise after letting his wife go, you know, what was it, a week and a bit ago, when Taya Valkyrie was let go, or Frankie Monet. Jackson Riker, I mean, he seemed like he was a little bit out there anyway. And hadn't really gotten much since the whole Elias feud ended, besides some time on Main Event. So, I mean, Tegan Knox is a bit of a surprise to me, as she, you know, but she seemed like she moved to, you know, the main roster, but couldn't find a home between being on SmackDown for, you know, a cup of coffee, then get drafted to Raw and not get used. I mean, that's kind of, you know, strange, but the big news, I think, is the release of Hit Row. Yeah.
Oh, no, I just played the theme song there a little bit. I downloaded it today. I was like, I am definitely playing with the BFAB verse in there, because what the hell? Who the hell cares? Like they released the entire thing. I think Matt had the best one from Bam. He put it one of the post discussions on our Facebook group. Like, they debuted in May, dude. Correct. In May.
Yeah.
And those poor guys, they now have 90 day no competes.
They do. Top Dollar AJ Francis reportedly had heat on the main roster before his release was announced on Thursday. Wrestling Observer reported that the NXT heat was due to Francis rubbing a ton of people the wrong way while he was there. It is also said that Francis was getting the same reputation since being called up to work SmackDown. Chairman and CEO Vince McMahon reportedly saw Francis as the star of the Hit Row stable due to his size. It's speculated that once WWE decided to get rid of Francis, Scott and Adonis were likely just caught in the crossfire, with BFAB being released earlier this month when the group was called up. Hit Row members will be free agents on Wednesday, February 16th, when their 90-day competes expire. Top Dollar responded to those reports online. He took to Twitter this afternoon to respond to the reports from The Observer. He wrote in his update, quote, "Here's what rubs people the wrong way, standing up for your own. When Bri, BFAB, was released, and I called the office myself to tell them they made a mistake. Standing up for yourself. People in the PC told me Hit Row wouldn't work for a year and a half, and I never took their advice." Francis continued in a follow-up tweet, "Trust me, I got plenty of stories I can tell about how I was disrespected, but just took it on the chin like a professional. Even with the video I released today, it's all professionalism, but I'm not going to lie. Let these BS reports ruin my reputation. Sorry, I'm not going to let these BS reports ruin my reputation. I got tea I can spill too." So that was Francis's, response to the comments of him being difficult to work with and getting heat.
You know what? At the end of the day, those three guys were cool. They were even cooler with BFAB. I hope somebody's smart enough to sign them as a package. I don't care if it's Impact or if it's, I was going to say ROH, but they don't exist anymore. NWA, New Japan. I mean, at this point, somebody needs to show up with $1 billion and start a new wrestling company, because there is enough guys that aren't signed that can make a great company.
Absolutely. And ladies. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, would it be great to see these guys on like a bigger stage, like a AEW or something like that? Absolutely. But you know, how do you go about actually making this all work? And I simply don't know if that's going to be just too much and too much all at once. But I think these guys had something, and I think that WWE is going to regret this decision at some point.
All right. Well, poor Shane Thorne too. He was just trying out his new crocodile. I was gonna say Crocodile Jack, but it's more like, I don't know. Like, he had the weird like Outback Jack kind of gimmick, and yeah, I feel bad for Shane Thorne. I really do. I don't feel like he got a fair shake ever.
So I just saw on our board, apparently the main event matches were just released, obviously, for this week. Morrison is in the first match on main event.
What is wrong with WWE? Like, what is wrong with you?
I don't know, Brad. I can't figure this company out. I mean, we all see it, right? Like, this is going up for sale, and it's going up for sale sooner rather than later.
Well, I hope it's going up for sale sooner rather than later. Something's got to explain this behavior, because, I mean, I get it. They can't keep everybody on, or they know something that the rest of us haven't clued into, which is we're not going back to 100% normal ever. No. And so WWE is cutting some extra contracts so that they can keep lean and mean.
But I mean, like the boys said on BAM this week, and for those of you guys who aren't patrons, you definitely should sign up for things like BAM. Matt talked about that all these guys that are getting cut are all Triple H guys. And I know Triple H, there's video of him this week, first time seeing since, you know, his heart issue surgery. And obviously we wish him well and hope he is able to do something. But I mean, would you want to come back? And, as they said on the show, wouldn't it be interesting to be sat around that Thanksgiving table with Stephanie, Triple H, their kids, Linda, Vince, Shane?
I think that Shane and Triple H go off to a corner and drink.
Yeah, probably.
And go and probably commiserate about how dad screwed us over.
Yeah. I don't know, Brad. I don't know.
It it looked like they thinned the roster out, and this SmackDown showed that they thinned the roster out, right?
Yeah, this was thin. So let's get to it, Brad. I mean, let's not dilly dally anymore. Let's save our dilly dally to the end while we get you ready and review the crappy card of Survivor Series that we're gonna have this weekend.
We don't have a dilly dally.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about episode 1161 from Hartford, Connecticut. It's Friday Night SmackDown on November 19th.
We kind of sound defeated, like broken men.
We are 100% broken. I am. I don't know about you, but this was the longest 2 hours. I didn't watch all 2 hours of this of my life without fail. And I thought last week was bad, and there's no way this could get worse. And it did. They found a way to do it, Brad.
We need to start knocking on wood before we make statements like that.
This, I will say this now. I am going to put these words down. This God. Is now getting as bad as Raw.
All right. Well, I guess that lethal lottery idea I've had for a few months of us all like putting our names in a hat and switching shows. Worst that happens, Greg, is that we end up covering. I mean, I'd rather cover NXT. At least it's terrible and fun.
Well, I mean, the only good thing we have here is that it's a 2 hour show instead of a 3 hour show.
But maybe we could draw Rampage.
Maybe that'd be good.
Hey, by the way, big shout out to the Dark Side of the Elite guys. The top three are now all in the SNME family. So welcome, boys. We're happy to have you aboard. And I think a crossover is due at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we start off with, Joe special, as I'm going to call it, because, oh boy, that recap button's going to get worn out. Recap number one, which is the Xavier Woods Roman Reigns saga from last week, leading up to the fact that the Usos and Roman beat up Xavier and took all of his stuff. And then we see all of Xavier Woods' King of the Ring accoutrement in the ring, his scepter, his cape, his throne, his crown. And then we get the Usos in the ring. They're bragging about how they sent a message to Big E on Monday night, which, by the way, since you don't watch, you know what happened at the end of the match with Big E?
No.
The Usos lost, and they took a big ending.
Yeah.
That's quite a message to send.
Yeah, no, that's right, because I didn't watch, but I listened to the midweek markout, or Tuesday Morning Cooked. And I had forgotten.
Hold on. You got to say that right. It's Tuesday Morning Cooked.
And I had forgotten at this point on a Friday night what had happened or what the guys had talked about. Because honestly, when it gets to them talking about Raw is when you can really just kind of tune out the show a little bit and just do what you need to do.
All right. Well, the Usos stand in the ring on this Friday night. They point up to the sky. They're the ones. They talked about how they're going to beat RK-Bro on Sunday at the pay-per-view and show them who the best tag team is. And then we get them doing an elongated version of going through all of Roman Reigns' titles. And we get Roman Reigns' full entrance, including double graphics. He's been champion for 446 days. They talk about the match coming up on Sunday with Big E, and we're going to find out who the big champion is when we get in the ring. Paul Heyman drops his microphone, but he covers that by saying he is so excited that he's dropping microphones and he is so honored to be in the ring. Paul says that no one deserves to be acknowledged as much as the tribal chief, not King Woods, not Brock Lesnar, not Big E, planting seeds for future matchups. And Roman is not impressed. He's there and he's like, I don't need any of these things. These are beneath me. I don't need any of these stupid props. And whose idea was this? And everybody points at Jimmy. Because that's the joke. Because he's a drunk driver, Greg. That's the joke. We're going to laugh at the guy who's... Because whenever there's a bad idea, it's the guy who drives drunk.
I mean, I would not be surprised at this point if either of them got cut at any point. I mean, I think the only thing that's saving them right now is Roman Reigns.
Listen, I think everybody can be cut. There is nobody who's safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very fair.
will come back in and Michael Cole's cut, like from commercial.
Could very well be. I mean, that's, we've had cuts midway through a show back in July, yeah. Right? It was in the middle of Friday Night SmackDown. July, he August, says, sorry, yeah.
As he pulls his collar. All right. We then have Roman Reigns, who talk. We then have Xavier Woods come in. He interrupts. He calls out Roman Reigns. He says, it's not the stuff that makes a king. And you have all my stuff in this ring, but it doesn't make you the king. And then Roman says, so you don't care about any of this stuff. And then Jimmy wipes his nose on the cape, throws it on the ground, and Roman stands on it. Then Roman asks, are you sure? Then Jay breaks the scepter into two pieces and throws it in the ring. And Roman laughs. And then they look at the throne and they throw it, pick it up and throw it down. And then the Usos throw it outside of the ring. They've completely destroyed all of his stuff. And then finally Roman stares at the throne. And just as Jimmy or Jay, I don't care which one of the Usos is about to destroy the crown, Roman says, stop. And he says, and he gives Woods the opportunity to save the crown. And finally, Woods has had enough. He dives in the ring. The Usos beat him up. They hold him down as Roman stomps on the crown. They beat him up. And they say they don't need these kind of props. And that's it. That's that whole opening segment. That is the stupid opening segment. It wasn't that it was bad. I just wasn't in the mood.
So I'm going to hold my comments on the opening statement or segment until we get to the end of the show, Brad.
Okay, well, then let's keep this moving because this show, we're going to try and keep this show short because Greg has to get up at 6:30 tomorrow morning. Do you have to be at the airport 6:30 tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I got to be at the airport. Yeah, around then. It's an early morning for me. I'm pulling the Boris Aguilar shift of watching SmackDown, recording this podcast, and up again early tomorrow morning. I've got to go pick up my mom, who's flying in tomorrow morning. She's on a red eye tonight.
Well, we end up getting Raw versus SmackDown, and we get the setup for this match, the Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, which we've changed. And then we announced that we're about to have a qualifying match for Team SmackDown as Sheamus makes his entrance. And then we get a commercial back from commercial. We have a fatal four-way match with the most qualified people on SmackDown, which include Sheamus, Jinder Mahal, Ricochet, and Cesaro. So my question to you, my friend, are these the most qualified people on SmackDown to make the team, to be the fifth member of the team?
I'm not sure if they're the most qualified, Brad, but I think they might be the only people left on SmackDown to make the team because there's no one else left.
Mustafa Ali is still there, at least
for now. That's true. Mustafa Ali and Mansoor. I mean, I guess, okay, there was two extra guys that they probably had in the back. They could have done a six-way here. But, I mean, it's pretty dry right now. I mean, this kind of peeved me off a little bit, Brad. Not so much the match. The match was fine. But this is one of those, let's announce this online yesterday or earlier today with these consequences of having it for that last spot, when this is something that, you know, they could have set up at the end of last week when Sami Zayn ended up coming out of the Survivor Series.
All right, well, this pissed you off. I'll tell you what made me mad later. So here's some highlights from this match. We have the heels face. We have one heel versus one face. They square off. Eventually, Sheamus and Cesaro are in the middle of the ring. They acknowledge the past history. Jinder ends up interfering. I love the fact that Jinder sets up the 10 beats of the ballad and passes over to Sheamus. And as Sheamus starts hitting him, Jinder tries to roll him up. That's hilarious. Cesaro tries to hit a big swing on Sheamus, but that gets interrupted. Cesaro gets thrown out of the ring. Ricochet hits a crazy dive, which leads to the commercial. And then we come back from commercial. We have everybody fighting up in the corners. And then we get one big suplex from Sheamus onto Jinder. And Ricochet hits a Hurricanrana onto Cesaro. Ricochet hits a standing shooting star press for the pin. Ricochet ends up in a tough spot. He looks like he's about to get hit by Jinder by the Colossus. He reverses that. Cesaro catches Jinder, interferes with that. And then he hits a big swing leading into a sharpshooter. Ricochet breaks up the sharpshooter. Eventually, we get Ricochet on top rope. He hits a 630, and that gets broken up. Cesaro makes the big save. Sheamus ends up hitting a big bro kick. And then we end up with Rich Holland's running down. He interrupts this match. He tries to hit Cesaro with his billy club. And eventually, Cesaro eats a bro kick. 1, 2, 3. Sheamus is on the team? Question mark? Thoughts? Yep.
Does it matter?
Nope.
Right? Okay, that's kind of where I go with this is, what does this really matter? Because they're just as liable tomorrow to change the whole team on Twitter.
Well, and let's be honest, I could care less. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it doesn't matter. You're right. It doesn't matter. And the worst part about this is nobody gets over, and they're using all the old guys.
Yep.
All right, speaking of old guys, here comes Jeff Hardy. He comes out. We got another interview with Jeff Hardy talking about Survivor Series, and he puts over Drew McIntyre and King Woods, and he even puts over Sheamus. By the way, do you remember who he was feuding with last year on SmackDown?
King Sheamus was feuding with?
Who Jeff Hardy was feuding with, because we have a backstage promo where he puts over Drew McIntyre and then King Woods.
I don't know, Kofi?
No, he was feuding with Sheamus in a thing where they had a fight in a bar.
Oh, was that during the whole, wasn't Sheamus like making fun of some of Hardy's
his sobriety. Sobriety?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then he makes fun of Happy Corbin, and sure shooting Happy Corbin interrupts. Madcap Moss makes a joke. What does Jeff Hardy paint? How does Jeff Hardy pick his colors for his face? Whatever makes him look less like a redneck. Ha 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 ha. Oh my God, this joke sucks. And the only thing that was great is the authority figure came in, and we're going to get Madcap Moss versus Jeff Hardy. Dear God. Out of all the people that are unemployed, why is Jeff Hardy still here?
The only reason that Jeff Hardy is still there is so that he can't go to AEW to be with his brother.
Because he doesn't climb slowly up somebody else's ropes?
Yeah. The backstage promo and stuff like that is what we've been getting week in, week out.
We got 3 Jeff Hardy segments on this show.
Yeah. Well, again, Brad, we don't have any superstars left. We've got to give people multiple segments.
Well, this is about to be confirmed. So, anyways, commercial, back from commercials. Sheamus is there with Ridge Holland. Sheamus talks about how he inspired Ridge. Sheamus talks about how inspiring he is. He then gets so emotional, he starts to fake cry. They laugh. And then they talk about fighting. Ridge Holland talks about how if it wasn't for him, he'd still be in England fighting bums. And they're going to celebrate by going to the bar and drinking. And Sheamus says, "You read my mind." Yeah, I got nothing.
Nope.
Okay, by my count, we get recap number 2. Just and 2? Because this is the crazy recap. We get the package where we go through all of the craziness. This is recap number 2. We get the recap from how Sheamus ended up in that match. We then get recap number 3, which is Charlotte and Becky and all of their stuff that goes on. Oh my God. Like, it's a good recap, but do you think we're going to see this on Sunday?
I don't even know, Brad.
It's filler. It's so much filler.
That's all tonight was. Tonight was 2 hours of filler.
Yes, and stupid things.
Do you know what tonight reminded me of?
Superstars?
You know when you've got WrestleMania coming up and they do almost like a best of the Friday Night SmackDown just before the WrestleMania where nothing really happens and they might show you like a match that was filmed at during the Fan Expo or whatever they call it, Fan Fest or whatever that comes with it.
Yep.
That's what tonight felt like.
Tonight felt like a goddamn waste of time.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's not even insulting to God. I'm sorry, God. This was a waste of time. This is a waste of everybody's time. And then we have Aaliyah come out. She's a big fangirl. Naomi comes out. They do some sort of weird combo entrance commercial, back from commercial. We hear Shayna Baszler's music, and we get a recap of last week where somehow Aaliyah wins the six-woman tag match, but gets thrown off the SmackDown team.
Right.
Because that makes sense.
Yes, 100%. Of course it makes sense, Brad.
All right. Well, we've kicked her off the team. Our match is match number two of the night is Naomi and Aaliyah versus Shayna Baszler and Natty. I have four notes for you. Are you ready?
Okay.
Aaliyah hits a crazy flip out of the corner. She tags Naomi. There's a quick back and forth between Naomi and Shayna. She tags Natty. Natty attacks while the Carafuda clutch is avoided by Naomi. 1, 2, 3, fast count, and that's it.
Yeah. This was just bad.
It was hot garbage.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is furthering the story where Naomi gets screwed over, and apparently there's crooked refs, and yeah, like Aaliyah gets this big debut, and now she's a loser.
Yeah. Like, who was the last crooked ref we saw in WWE?
Brad Maddox?
Listen, we saw way too much of Brad Maddox.
Well, yeah, if you search the internet, you can see way too much of Brad Maddox.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Charles Robinson for a while, years ago, Dave Hepner, Tim White, Brad Maddox, Neil Patrick, Danny Davis, and of course, it's Survivor Series, so we've got to mention him, the great Earl Hepner.
Yep.
Probably the top seven most crooked WWE referees. And all we right. can add this one to it too.
Yeah, sure. We'll get there in a second. All right, for some reason we get Jeff Hardy warming up in the back. He's stretching his neck. We then get Michael Cole and Pat McAfee back in the arena. They're queuing up the Bruno Sammartino package. We get recap number four, which is Bruno Sammartino. And Jeff Hardy comes out. People are happy. I'm not happy because I have to watch him wrestle. Commercial, back from commercial. We get recap number five, which shows us the fastest count ever. Wasn't that like, that's like seven lines of my notes back.
Yeah. So Brad, I did some quick Googling. The last time we had a crooked ref angle in WWE last year.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that. I don't
February 2020, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton.
Who's the ref?
I don't know who the ref is. I'm seeing a picture here, but I don't know. I'm not recognizing who the ref is. But Owen grabbed the referee, pulled his shirt up to reveal a Monday Night Messiah shirt underneath. The ref had been working for Rollins. But it was in a Orton and Owens match.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter. We get Sami Zayn in the back. He's talking about his documentary. It's been delayed by 6 months because of lawsuits.
I love that they actually brought this up.
It's a tragedy. Why are we not getting this?
Well, I mean, at least they're following through. I mean, Sami Zayn had those, you know, he's been saying this for a long time, is where's my documentary? And, you know, now we're hopefully going to see something pay off, maybe.
All right. Well, Sonya Deville is paying a few things off. She first says that she didn't have anything to do with Sammy's being kicked off the team. And don't worry, it's 25 years since The Rock debuted. So we're going to have a 25-man battle royal to celebrate The Rock. So, and Sammy's name can win this. We then have the NXT ref come in. Sonya says, and she asks if she did a good job. Sonya says she doesn't deal with crooked refs and she shoos her away. Yeah, that pretty much ends this segment before we get the entrance. I mean, So we get a 25 man battle royal. Make your joke here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do we have 25 men here to be in a battle royal?
Well, can I ask an honest question besides the actual joke? Shouldn't it be 26 so that it's 13 from each side?
Well, but it's 25. Well, again, this is one of those things like, why are we doing a battle royal here? Just because The Rock debuted 25 years ago doesn't mean we need to go and have a battle royal. But
well, it's because we need to have people wear red shirts and blue shirts.
I guess.
And we can't waste any matches, dude. We got to have all those precious title versus title and Survivor Series matches need to be on the main card. This has to be on the pre-show.
Well, we can talk about that in a few, Brad, when we get to the end. But I see this as, you know, remember back in the day when, you know, you got that paycheck for being on the show. This feels to me like a crap. Let's get more people on the show so we can get them paid. But they don't get paid because it's the network.
Tom Lang on the board pointed out the fact that somebody pushes people off these teams, but we never actually find out who that somebody is. It's like the invisible hand, and we never will. If you want angles tied up, go watch AEW. If you want angles to just hang as loose threads, welcome to SmackDown. Happy Corbin comes out. Yay. And we get Madcap Moss come out with him. And before the match starts, Jeff Hardy decides he needs some backup too. So he calls out Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre gets the full entrance. Stretch. All right. Match number three of the night. Jeff Hardy versus Madcap Moss. Here are my notes for this match. Madcap starts attacking Jeff. He's smashing him in the gut. Jeff Hardy hits a twist of fate out of nowhere. Happy Corbin tries to interfere as Jeff goes to the top rope. Drew makes a save. The distraction leads to Jeff Hardy being pulled off the ropes. Jeff Hardy gets caught in a suplex. We get that turned into a roll-up. 1, 2, 3. Jeff Hardy wins. After the match, Drew McIntyre hits a Claymore on Corbin, and we get a Swanton from Jeff Hardy on Madcap Moss.
And at least this was relatively quick.
And I wish I could say painless, but that's not true.
No, anything that involves Baron Corbin in it is not painless.
All right, we get recap number 6, which is the destruction of all of Cake Wood's gear. And then we get recap number 7 right after, which shows Xavier Woods talking in the backstage about how he needs to stand up for himself. Why did we need to see this?
We don't need to see this, Brad. Again, filler.
All right, Caleb Braxton's in the back. She has Paul Heyman there. And this might be our highlight of the night, the only thing we won't cut. Paul Heyman's cutting a promo. He talks about how Roman Reigns doesn't need anyone. He doesn't need the Usos. He loves his cousins. He doesn't need Paul Heyman, his advocate, his wise man, but he loves him. And he decides that he is going to accept the challenge and he's going to come out and face them. Back to the arena, Rick Boogs is out. He's playing his guitar. Rick Boogs does a call and response. Shinsuke comes out and we get a commercial. Do you want to comment on either the Paul Heyman promo or Rick Boogs being awesome?
I mean, this is the high water mark on the show. These two segments back to back.
It's the only thing that's worth watching. And none of this is getting cut. No. The match might get cut, but yeah. The entrance isn't.
No. I mean, Kayla and Polly, I mean, this, Brad, I want to see more of Kayla and Polly. Like, it's, the two of them have something. They have this chemistry. I've said it before. I'll say it again for those people who are listening to my comments on this for the first time. These guys have something. And I know that they did Talking Smack for a while and they don't do that anymore. But I love this, the way that they manage to every week get these two performers on the screen and get screen time together.
All right, I got 2 pages of notes left. Let's keep her moving. So Our next match is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Angel Garza. Wait, he doesn't have a last name. Sorry, just Angel. So this starts, and Angel and Kurio have decided that they should have been on the Sexiest Man Alive cover. We get a dropkick. Shinsuke is out on the outside. Humberto grabs his leg. Rick Boogs makes save. He tosses around Humberto. Shinsuke comes back in. He rolls through, hits a kick, hits his Kinshasa, 1, 2, 3. Did I miss anything important?
No.
Okay, so what is this leading to?
Well, last week we saw the tag match. This week was Shinsuke versus Angel. So that means next week is Boogs versus Carrillo.
So when does Shinsuke have to defend his Intercontinental title?
Every 30 days. Oh, no, wait, never mind.
Every 90 days. Anyways.
No, 90 days is something else, Brad.
That's your no-compete clause. All right, well, when Shinsuke gets released, that's his no-compete clause. All right, recap number 7. We see the attack by Chauncey on Sasha Banks. Okay.
Yep.
We get to the back. Chauncey's there. They cut some promos. Chauncey goes to call Sasha a B-word. And then Sasha interrupts. She talks about a bunch of stuff. And then she calls her a B-word. And apparently they have to shake hands before they leave this thing.
Yep. I mean, that's going to be what we need to do here, Brad. So let's do it.
All right, commercial. Back from commercial. Toni Storm's in the back. She talks about how commercial back commercial. We find out that Toni, we're in the ring. We've got the entrances. We're about to have this match. And we find out that Toni Storm is on this team.
Correct. She got added to the SmackDown team yesterday, and they didn't even update the graphic yet.
Well, I'll give you a better one. She got added on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they announced the damn team on Twitter, so why not add her?
But wait, does Twitter pay them millions of dollars a year? Is it Fox that possibly pays $1 million a year?
Or NBC?
Anyways, well, at least they didn't announce it on Tout, I guess.
They could have touted it out.
All right, so back highlights from this match. We start early on, there's back and forth, and eventually Sasha hits the Three Amigos. We get a crazy Eddie chant. She climbs the rope and hits the frog splash. Sasha goes to the outside. We get them dodging each other's stuff. Eventually, Sasha gets her hand stuck in the corner and Chauncey works over the hand. They're screaming that it might be broken. And this leads to the commercial break. Back from commercial, Chauncey is using a spinning neck breaker and Sasha gets a tiny bit of offense, but then she eats a sliced bread. Chauncey is pretty much working over the arm, working that advantage. She is totally on offense. Eventually, she tries to hit that spinning neck breaker again. This leads to Sasha catching her in the bank statement. And she ends up using her good leg with the other arm and ends up making the tap out. 1, 2, 3. Sonya comes out, demands the handshake. They shake hands. Sasha hits her with the backstabber and walks up the ramp going, "What? You said shake her hand." This was actually a really good match. It just, if you make a garbage salad or a garbage pile and you put a cherry on top of it, it's still a cherry on top of garbage.
Yeah, I mean, this was a 5-star match, Brad, in comparison to what we saw on TV tonight.
But even compared to everything else, it was maybe 3.5-star match. It was above average WWE TV matches.
Absolutely. I don't disagree. And it told a story. The finish told a story with Sasha with her hand hurt and she had to use her leg to get that submission on. That was good. I mean, it made sense. I know we talked about not making sense a lot on this podcast network, especially when it comes to WWE programming. And this actually had WWE doing what they should have done. So I was okay with this match. I certainly didn't mind this. And the ending with the handshake, you knew one of them was going to turn. You just didn't know which one. So I guess it's good that it was Sasha.
Sure. Who is actually the heel in this?
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Okay, well, spout the obvious.
The obvious heel here, Sonya Deville.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, you're right. She's the big heel. All right, so Roman Reigns in the back. He asks the wise man his time. The wise man says that it is. He then stands up. The Usos go to go with him. He says, I'll handle this myself. Cue up the main event, which is when you pointed out to me, this is actually not a match.
No, this is when we got the graphic. We've got 20 minutes of TV left, and Brad, I knew, was getting all excited for this big Roman Reigns Xavier Wood match. And the graphic clearly stated not once, but twice, it was going to be a Roman Reigns Xavier Woods or King Woods confrontation.
Oh, don't worry. WWE did everything they could to take any joy I had out of this. Yes. We have a commercial, back from commercial, Xia Li manga introduction, something about her dad and how she was, he was bigger than life, and then he dies and she decides to pick up his mantle and protect against bullies. So the question is, will she be cut before she makes her debut?
Well, I know now where the cost for covering this promo, this manga promo cost came from, because it's from the 8 contracts that they cut yesterday. That's once they saw the bill for this, they're like, oh crap, let's go and cut people so we can pay this bill.
Hit row.
And I'm wondering, so since Hit Row came, they were, you know, brought in NXT, they were called to the main roster and all let go within what, 6 months? What was the day that Matt said? Was it May?
Yeah, May.
Yeah. I mean, Xia Li, if she makes it to WrestleMania, I would be surprised.
Yep. Well, the manga was cool, but too bad she's going to be cut soon. Kayla Braxton's in the back. She's there with Toni Storm. We get recap number 8. That's right, 8. Where we see Toni Storm interrupting Charlotte Flair and their whole interaction last week. Toni Storm talks about how she would like to get a championship match. Charlotte comes in. She says she doesn't deserve a championship match, but she'll happily give her a match when she's done dealing with Becky. So I guess we get a match next week.
I guess. Well, I don't know. Maybe the next pay-per-view, then maybe that they'll hold to January. But what happened to, like, last week or the last time we saw Toni Storm, she was born in the 90s, but as a child of the 80s, and she certainly had nothing 80s in this promo. So did we drop that now? Is she just, you know, this whatever she is?
She just isn't cut. Let's be grateful for that.
All right, fair. Maybe the 80s outfits got cut.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 notes left. And one of them involves King Woods comes out, commercial, back from commercial. King Woods has some words about Hartford, Connecticut, and about how he's here to confront Roman Reigns. And if Roman Reigns is a real man, he'll come out and fight him. And he jokes about the Usos being the wet bandits, a Home Alone reference. So we're going to find out who the real man is. Roman Reigns makes his entrance. He walks halfway to the ring. He calls for the Usos. We get one Uso go flying out. The next Uso comes flying out. Then all of a sudden, Big E's music comes. Roman's head drops. And the two champions are battling outside. Big E starts slamming Roman. And he's about to get an advantage on him. In comes the Usos. He takes care of them one by one. Big endings. And then eventually, out of nowhere, Xavier comes flying over the top ropes, takes them out. They reference the fact that Kofi has a sprained ACL. Roman comes in out of screen. He hits the Superman punch. Looks like he's about to finish this whole thing with a giant spear. But before he can hit the spear, Big E catches him. He's about to hit the big ending. Roman escapes, and that's it. Big E is standing tall, and they stare down each other, heading into Survivor Series.
Okay. Can I go back to our opening segment of the night?
Sure.
So as I watch that, I'm thinking to myself, Well, I've watched the recap anyway, because I missed the first segment of the show. I'm thinking to myself, why is Xavier Woods out here? Obviously, we know Kofi is injured storyline. I don't think he's actually injured, but he's storyline injured. And Xavier is out here, you know, not knowing what he's going to do. Doesn't Xavier have friends? Maybe he needs some help with all this and with this situation. You've got three guys, four guys, if you count Polly on one. You know how this is going to go. Then we get to the end segment of the night, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we've got a Big E and Roman Reigns match. Why wasn't Big E around for the first segment? And he comes out on the second one. So what the hell was Big E doing backstage when Xavier Woods was, his, you know, stuff was getting destroyed and he was being restrained by Usos while Roman crushed his crown with Big E just sat, what was he like at catering at the time and just missed that or what?
His flight was delayed.
Yeah, because he showed up with 5 minutes left in the match or 5 minutes left in the taping.
I assume.
In gear.
Listen, he travels in that gear.
Yeah. The make no sense, we're back to it.
Well, if we had to make no sense count, it would be over 20 and the show's only 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, this takes us to the end of the podcast, but we have two things we're going to do. We're going to do our Hulu review, and then we're going to do a quick preview, because if you want a full, really good professional preview, Mouth and Dan will be back on Sunday. We're just going to go through this really quickly, but things we're actually looking forward to. I think that's how we're going to do the preview. We're going to go, do we care about this, or do we just, like, seriously, what the hell?
All right, okay. So right,
first we got to do Hulu.
Okay, so first segment.
Wait. Okay. For those who you don't know,
Here's
how a Hulu review works. We decide whether something stays in or not, and basically we're going to cut the show down and make it as short as possible so that you can watch things that matter. So I would argue in the first segment, I kind of want to keep it, but you could probably watch the recap later in the show and be just fine.
Yeah. I didn't see it live. I can go back to the tape and watch it, but I mean, I got the recap partway through the show and I'm like, okay, cool. I know what happened in the first bit.
All right. So then that recap, what survives, not the actual one.
All right.
That four-way, are we keeping it or are we going to do like superstar special where we see some of the match and then the end of it?
Yeah. I think that's easily a superstar treatment.
All right, I'm also going to say anything involving Jeff Hardy can be cut.
Well, let's cut the Jeff Hardy stuff.
Everything. His whole face.
Yeah.
I grew up loving Jeff Hardy. Now it's like watching like a crippled old man and climb around a wrestling ring.
Yeah. Did we even talk about, okay, so we're getting down now. We've got this recap of Charlotte and Becky.
We talked about this.
Yeah,
we talked. Stay, except yeah. That I don't. So here's the thing: do we leave it, or it's going to be right before the match in Survivor Series? So do we cut it because you're going to watch it again?
You're going to see it at Survivor Series, so I think you can cut it here.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't have a whole hell of a lot of show. No. Do we bother keeping the Aaliyah Naomi debacle?
Well, I was actually just going to ask, did we even talk about this? But of course we did, because the real big thing out of this was the fast ref count. So, I mean, I think you've got a superstar this one if you're going to keep the Sammy documentary.
You know what? We can keep the whole match. The whole match was like 3 minutes.
All right, cool. Let's keep it then.
But Jeff Hardy warming up, he's already been cut.
Yeah,
we'll keep the recap for Bruno.
Keep the recap for Bruno is fine. We'll keep the backstage stuff with Sonya and Sammy and the random Rock 25 man battle royal.
Okay. Do we keep anything involving Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss?
And no, you know what? Jeff Hardy's
there, so that's all cut. We've already cut all
that. I was going to say, we don't like Happy Corbin. And Jeff Hardy is in it. Like, why did this even come up as a possibility to keep Brad?
All right. So then we'll keep Kayla Braxton and Paul Heyman and all of the Nakamura entrants. You know what? We can even, I'm in a generous mood at this point. Let's keep that whole match because it was like 3 minutes and it didn't offend me.
Sure. All right. And what about this Toni Storm promo backstage?
Sure.
You want to keep that?
And we'll keep the Shotzi and Sasha match because that was actually not bad.
All right. That's fair. And then we've got the final part of the show. What about the Xia Li promo?
I will keep that because that's the reason why Hit Row got cut.
All right. And we've got the Roman Reigns backstage with Paulie.
You know what? And the whole confrontation. We'll keep all that because it says the pay-per-view. Okay. So basically you're going to see highlights of the first hour, and you can pretty much keep from Kayla Braxton and Paul Heyman.
Yeah, from Kayla Braxton and Paul Heyman on, I think is fine. That probably brings your 2 hour show down to a easy digestible 45 minutes.
Okay, so that takes us to our Daily Dialogue this week, which is just going to be a quick pay-per-view preview. We're going to do this in a fun way. Do you actually care about this? That's the game we're playing.
Okay. Right,
so the first match listed here, I am using CBS. CBS website has a preview. WWE Champion Big E versus Universal Champion Roman Reigns. Do you care?
Sure. I mean, if there's one match, I mean,
you sound so convicted.
Well,
sure.
What's the stakes here, right? This Survivor Series used to mean something, but it means nothing. So these champion versus champion matches, they're not trying to unify belts. So what do you get out of winning, and what's the whole point of the pay-per-view? What's the end goal? And you don't have it with any of these matches at all.
You know what? You're not wrong. But this match should be good because two wrestlers in it are.
I think so. I mean, is it going to be a good match? Yes. Are we probably getting a screw job finish in some way, shape, or form? Probably.
All right, so we'll call it, sure. We'll call it, we're mildly looking forward to it. You know what? I'm actually looking more forward to Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch because I think these women can't have a bad match.
I am looking forward to this only to see how much of a dumpster fire that this is going to be.
Okay.
Just simply based on their comments, Becky's comments in the media this week, and just the backstage interaction between Charlotte and Becky and no one trusting each other. I'm curious to see what might happen here. And are we going to get a screw job finish a la Montreal or what? So I don't know.
Okay. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, the men's version. Do we even care about this?
Or the women's version? I'm going to say no.
Yeah, you know what? You're not wrong. I'm interested to see who will win, but I don't actually, the match will be good, but there's no stakes. Listen, I'll give you what I came up with this week. You know, it would be easy if your men's team wins, the last five spots go to men on SmackDown, and everybody in the match gets a title match between here and Royal Rumble.
I mean, that at least gives them something to fight over.
Right.
Like a and reason that would work for this.
And then you'd have a reason to want to be on the team too. So you could do that for both the men and the women's team. You could have the men win on one side and the women win on the other brand. And yeah, it would be interesting. But they didn't do that, so we're not really cared. Tag champions, RK-Bro versus the Usos. Does it even matter?
I do not like watching Randy Orton in a ring ever. But I'm curious for the Usos and Riddle. In a ring,
sure,
and what so we we'll, could see. So I'm this one. I'll probably watch. This one won't be a bathroom break match.
Shinsuke versus Damian Priest. Besides the entrances, do we care?
No. Besides the entrance, no, absolutely not.
25 man battle royal.
The Rock Anniversary Battle Royal. The only way this is good in any way, shape, or form, or means anything, is if The Rock surprises and shows up
and wins.
Sure, doesn't even have to win. I mean, it's in New York City, big enough town, but this is one of those, what's the point?
Well, unless you're going to put somebody over. You know who I would have win this? Is Dominic.
I mean, you could.
Why not? Like, he's the young star. And it starts his heel turn. He gets a big head.
I don't even know if we have 25 people on the roster who aren't there now.
Listen, they can put all kinds of people. They have all those road agents they can stick in there.
I was going to say, what do you get the Brooklyn Brawler out because they're in New York?
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I honestly not even sure based on who we have on teams. I mean, are we going to get like Tozawa?
Yep.
And like those guys in that 25-man match?
Well, here's some names they have listed, including Omos, AJ, Cesaro, Sami Zayn, the Street Profits, Alpha Academy.
Sure. Do you know what I could see here? And this is what scares me, Brad.
Sure.
Are we going to see someone like Gable Stevenson win this?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So our anticipation for Survivor Series is probably a 3 out of 10.
That is being generous.
Okay. So a pretty terrible SmackDown. We're hoping Survivor Series is good. You know what's going to be good with the Survivor Series?
That'll be over soon.
I'm going to order some takeout and maybe probably some wings and some beer. And yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know who I want to win that Survivor Series Battle Royal?
We've talked more about this than three things on SmackDown. Sure.
Sure.
Go ahead.
The Gobbledygooker.
That is the best idea ever.
Yeah, I want the Gobbledygooker to win.
Why not?
Yep. That's and have it be, I don't care who it's going to be in the costume. Like, let one of the current superstars in the costume.
No, not so that it's the Undertaker in the costume. Mark Calloway can come out as the, because there's a joke, right? Mark Calloway, they joked that was going to be Mark Calloway's original gimmick, was that he was going to be Gobbledygooker.
I was going to say, Mark Calloway, at this point, I know he was waiting for end of hunting season so he could get some surgeries done. I would not want to see him try to strut around as the Gobbledygooker after he breaks out of the egg.
That would be the greatest thing ever. He comes out, his full gimmick, and he throws everybody out, and then obviously takes up the head, and he goes, and everybody goes, it's the Undertaker! And he goes full Undertaker mode when he takes off the Gobbledygooker head.
If the Gobbledygooker extends his arms and the lights come up, then we all know what's going on.
Maybe Kane wins this. Kane win this. Kane can be the Gobbledygooker.
I mean, we're going to see Kane. I really think that WrestleMania in Texas has got to be when Undertaker goes to Hall of Fame, and it's got to be Kane inducting him.
See, we've already had better ideas than this whole show. Okay, so we're going to keep this short because it's midnight here in Atlanta, Canada. Greg has to go to bed because he has to be up in about 6 hours. So plug away, my friend. Father Feltham.
You can find me on Twitter at WrongBagels and on Instagram, where I did smoke something this week, but I didn't actually take any pictures of it or post it. I feel like that was wrong. That's usually what you'll find on my Instagram. I'll be honest. I think I might smoke something this weekend, though, so maybe you'll see. You can find me, obviously, on the board, Greg Feltham. I usually start the Friday night SmackDown threads. Or provide smart-ass comments wherever I can.
I am Brad the Dead NS on Twitter, Instagram, Pokemon Go, Brad McKinnon on Facebooks. And in the next couple of days, you're going to get a lot of content. You're going to get for the first time ever, you're going to get the all elite guys are going to join us here. They have their first ever show. Actually, they're probably recording
I think they're recording tomorrow when I was talking to them last week, but the Dark Side of the Elite guys will be doing their, I think they're calling it Rampage Roundup. And that'll drop Saturday evening.
Right. And Jason and Dan will be back twice on Sunday, once with a preview. You can then watch Survivor Series and then join. You can join the after party with Dan and Mark and Jason. Mark will be pushing the buttons. Dan and Jason will be hosting, just like old times. And you can be, that's on YouTube for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Live stream to YouTube.
Live stream to YouTube, which is going to be different and great. That should be fun. And if you want to take part in the live stream, you can sign up for patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's $1 US per week or $4 US a month. You can join the patron family and support the show and be able to connect and ask actual questions on that live stream on Sunday night. So look forward to seeing that happen.
So then, and you get Midweek Markout with Jason and Mark. You get All Elite Weekly with Dan and Joe. And then you also get NXT Talk, NXT Talk 2.0. You're going to back with Boris and Matt. And they also have Bam. And then we'll be back here next Friday night reviewing the fallout from SmackDown, from Survivor Series, if there is fallout.
Well, it's if there's anyone left and they haven't let more people go. Also, don't forget, you get the trivia show. You also get Dr. Matt's lunch party as well on the Patreon. There's something there every day. Like, you will not get bored with content.
You actually get something like 7 shows a week for $1 a week of wrestling shows, plus the 2 bonus shows of trivia and music. So why not? If you aren't going to sign up, I don't know. I don't know what else is going to convince you to sign up. So you can watch the YouTube for free, but if you want to be heard on the air in the after party and join the fun, you got to be a patron. $1 a month, $1 a week, $4 a month. Sign up on snmeradio.com. Find us on the Patron, and we'll be there every week. And we're free this week, but we're probably not going to be free for a while after this. I bet you the Dark Side of the Elite guys are free next week.
Yeah, probably. We need to show them some love. So good luck, guys, on your new podcast. Looking forward to hearing that when that drops tomorrow. And with that, Brad, we will see, or we'll be talking to everyone, I guess, the next time we are on the feeds again. But, you know, feel free, as we said, join the Patreon and you can hear us every Friday night, well, Saturday, lunchtime by the time you get it. But we usually record on Friday night. You can get our comments on Friday Night SmackDown. And that's it.
We have plugged away. Good night, everybody. See you next time. We the ones.
We the ones.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves 2 things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Don't you dare miss it.